The Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kovi and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on iRock Space Radio.
Hello, space enthusiasts, and welcome to another episode of The Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kovi and Benjamin. With all of us drinking different beverages on our respective side of the world, Benjamin has a star-themed beer this evening, which is fantastic. And I'm sure Kavi is drinking coffee, but, you know.
Star coffee.
Star coffee.
It's so early.
It's made of star stuff, like
yes,
us all.
Yes, it is.
And we have returned from a long weekend. And I know that it is not something that is celebrated in Australia, but I hope that, Benjamin, you had a good Thanksgiving weekend with your friends and family and that you weren't outcasted by talking about space too much. You know, were you sent to the kids' table?
I voluntarily went to the kids' table because the conversation's much more engaging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're just like, Uranus! And then they're all like, yeah!
Actually, a member of the kids' table is now an astrophysics student at UC Berkeley.
Wow.
So I like talking to him. His name is Adam Zabridger, and he's a genius.
Well, yeah. Man, boy, have the kids' tables changed over the years.
Yeah, I know. Kids these days.
My kids' table, when I was little, it's definitely about Uranus jokes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's still about Uranus jokes, but there's also some answers.
True. We're going to probe it even more. Yes, obviously, Kavi, you did not have a long weekend like we did, but I hope you had a good weekend and enjoyed and probably, obviously, you can have still somewhat of an appreciation of the holiday spirit through your American friends on the other side of the world. But yeah, we are, what number, what element is sulfur? We're on what episode?
16, what is, I think.
We're on 16. And we are, this is the sulfur episode. And Uranus, sulfur, insert all the jokes already. We're going to talk this week about, well, it started with like bad smells in space, but then I was like, well, it just kind of makes me think of like just odd things that happen in space. So we're going to do like an episode on just weird stuff in space. And yeah, but why don't you drop some sulfur knowledge on me? Kavi, we'll start with you. Some fun fact science about sulfur.
Oh, I don't know where to start. I mean, sulfur was surprisingly interesting. I think one of my favorite facts is that sulfur is actually used in a process of vulcanization of rubber. You probably like, you know, maybe not noticed, but like watering hoses and rubber tires. It's always called like vulcanized rubber or vulcanized something. And that basically means that they heat it up and they heat it up with sulfur or some like sulfate compound. And what's interesting is that sulfur is actually mined, when it is mined, from volcanoes and from volcanic regions. And it just so happened that they named it that. So I think that's a really cool bit of fun fact for you.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And Benjamino, what have you brought to the table? You are our on this day kind of guy. Did you have any on this day prepared for this week?
This episode, this is a sulfur episode, should be airing on December 3rd. So happy December 3rd astronaut birthday to Stephen Swanson, who flew on two shuttle flights and one Soyuz flight, all to the ISS, for a total of 195 days in space.
Damn.
And happy scientist birthday to Cleveland Abbey, an American meteorologist and astronomer, America's first professional meteorologist, the guy who created the National Weather Service, and he made some of the very first evaluations and studies of the Magellanic Clouds.
Oh, that's so cool.
Happy birthday to those dudes.
Happy birthday. I love also, speaking of like history, kind of the history of weather and weather science, because it was such a like kind of a pseudoscience when it started, because people were like, who can predict the weather, you know? And then people are going up in these hot air balloons and being like, no, I think we can gather some information and actually start to maybe understand and predict what's going to happen. And like, think about that in the 1800s, like, we're going to predict what the weather's going to do. And people are like, yes. And I'm also going to throw some chicken bones on the ground and it's going to tell me how many children I have. So, right. You know, like,
it's, that works.
I that was probably, you know, we're probably talking more like Viking and, you know, a little older than that, but did work back then. I don't know if you knew that.
Speaking of gathering information in hot air balloons, I think that like one fact that will never leave my mind is that like early aerial reconnaissance actually used cameras on pigeons. Like that was actually a thing that they had, you know, the earliest aerial reconnaissance had. Yeah, they tried cameras on hot air balloons and they tried cameras on pigeons. And like, I remember learning about this and like finding a few examples of the photos, and naturally, like most of the photos that these birds took are like of themselves accidentally, just like wings and feathers everywhere. Like, we can't see the target. But yeah, that's so a real much. Thing.
That is amazing. I'm going to have to look up pigeon reconnaissance pictures.
A picture of a World War One pigeon camera, you're going to crack up.
Okay. Hold on, I got to do it now. World War One pigeon camera. Okay, hold on. World War One pigeon
camera. While you guys...
Please Google World War One pigeon camera. You're going to love this. Everybody at home watch this.
It's exactly what you expect, right?
It doesn't look real, people. It's real.
It's the birds are part of the bourgeoisie. Like, look at that. That is so funny. Oh my god, that is the most amazing. Wow, like, stop the show here. That was that's the best thing. Oh my god.
I'm happy to help.
Well, weird things. We started off on a very strong foot here. That is. That is absolutely something. Awesome. Speaking of selfies, I it did make me think of Benjamin and I watched the new documentary on Opportunity that dropped on mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, which is available on Prime. And I cried a lot, but that's like also I cry over butterflies. So it's not unexpected, but they reference a part in the documentary where towards the end of her mission, or not her mission, her life, because her mission ended, you know, technically really early. They were like, let's take a picture of her. And it had been like 15 years since anybody mm-hmm. had seen the robot. And they were like, let's take a picture. And true to like NASA scientists, the whole like the scientific people were like, what? What's the right. purpose of that? Like, this is always what NASA does. They're like, why? And so before recording, we were talking about this documentary and I said I was crying, and Kavi was like, well, I haven't seen it yet. So do I need to get an onion and cut it so that way I can make sure that I have tears as we reminisce about it as well? But it was, don't eat it raw.
I love
raw onion. The funny like stories that thread through NASA of, you know, basically people who are more philosophical and kind of understand the human elements of these machines and they want to do these things, and then the clash with the scientists that are like, well, what's the scientific purpose to that? Comes up so often in NASA history. And that was, I didn't know that they did that with Opportunity, and it was, you know, a very sweet moment of that documentary. But if you haven't seen it yet, check it out. It is great. My kids were even very enthralled with it. And usually, like, they get kind of bored halfway through documentaries. So, yeah. So I don't know if that's a stamp of approval or not, I suppose. But
I'll have to try it. The last documentary I watched, I got bored, like, halfway through. I think it was called Beyond the Curve. And it was just, not doing it for me.
Yeah. No, this one's very good. It's very well done. There's very distinct sort of like chapters, if you will, to it. Yes. Stinky stuff in space. I have to admit, I did not do a lot of research on odd things in space. I love that we started with these, like, it's still up on my screen. Yes, people, the please pigeons. Go Google World War One pigeons cameras and like you will not be disappointed. So we were talking about like weird smells in space, but I was like, you know, I don't know why I keep thinking about this, but something that's kind of weird about space, and I'll start with my like one and only fact that I'm going to probably share, and then you guys have like tons of things already prepped, is that, you know, when you're out in space and say you pull off your sock or something like that, your skin cells just go poof everywhere because there's no gravity, so there's nowhere for it to go. So you have like skin and hair that just accumulates all around the station, and they have to do a vacuum every week through the ISS to clean up like their skin cells. It's so weird.
The calluses in the bottom of your feet are there because you're adding pressure to it when you walk, but when you're floating in space, there's no need for that anymore, and your feet kind of heal. The calluses come off, but the weird thing is you start getting calluses on the tops of your feet.
Yes.
There's all these little loops around the station where you anchor your feet to hold you in place. And that rubs the top of your foot. So after a good long time in space, the top of your feet kind of starts to look a little bit like the bottom. And the bottom of your feet look like, well, really large baby feet because they're just so soft and happy.
Yes.
You just blew my mind. You kind of just blew my mind a little bit because I just realized that when astronauts on the ISS vacuum, they're not just vacuuming the floor. They're like vacuuming every side. Like
everything.
The
walls, Oh my God. It's like a clean house day where they, and like, think about that. Like, I don't know why it kind of grosses me out, but it's just like, that's like, you know, like your body. And this happens on Earth. Obviously, we shed our skin, we shed our hair. It's just,
but
we don't,
it settles to the ground.
Yeah, like we don't notice it like you do out there. And so they're just, you know, it's just like, imagine too, that first cleanup after maybe there was a crew and there's someone you didn't really like that much and they left. And then you're doing the cleanup and you're like, yeah, vacuum up Bill's presence. Gross Bill.
Might get to that dust sink.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the charms, I guess, of also living in those close quarters, and you just have to learn these facts about, like, you know, like, oh, being human is weird. It's gross. It's a gross thing. But so sulfur, is there sulfur smells in space? Can you guys articulate on that? Is there the smell of sulfur anywhere in space, or is that a unique Earth smell?
Yes. Well, yes. Space, you can't really smell anything, but there are things in space that, well, you can travel through space to get to places that have
that smell like sulfur. Understood. Yes, because of volcanism and stuff. Yeah,
one of the nearest is Jupiter's moon Io.
Io,
by the way,
Io,
the whole moon is completely covered in sulfur. It's completely constantly erupting with volcanoes all over. It's being squished and stretched by Jupiter's gravity all the time.
So,
and
it's a
farty
moon.
In theory, if you can get down there and take your mask off and get a good whiff, it's going to stink horribly, like rotten eggs and stinky feet.
Pleasant.
It's going to be the worst smelling place you could possibly go to. If,
unless you evolved to live on that planet and you're like, hey, this smells.
I'm just picturing the TripAdvisor page for Io, which is like one review written by Benjamin. It's like, it stinks of rotten eggs.
We're going to need to take a break. That reminds me, have you seen the TripAdvisor reviews of national parks?
They're
so funny. It'll be like the Grand Canyon. It was just a really big hole. You know, things like that. Like people will be like, or it was really hot and there were a lot of rocks on the trail. You know, if it's like Arches National Park or something like that. It's just so funny. I think I've seen complaints about like too many mosquitoes in Montana, you know, kind of areas and stuff like that. So we should write like a bad solar system review, like, and write all the planets. That would actually be an
really
awesome
fun
calendar.
Let's do that.
Thank you. Everybody, please.
Absolutely.
Actually.
Right. Absolutely. Earth would probably get the most unique and interesting complaints, like beautiful place, people there are terrible.
So many complaints.
Well, if you, you know, I feel like I just gave some awesome meme ideas and countdown ideas, Benjamin, countdown ideas. So make sure you follow these fantastic gentlemen on their social media platforms. Oh, yes, you, sir. Kavi, who goes under the handle of Fun Fact Science, drops the science wisdom in meme form often and does so with very efficient speed. And then we have Benjamin of Fun Fact, nope, not Fun Fact, Science Actually or Actually Science. It depends on which handle you're, or where you're at and which handle it goes under, but you'll get the gist. And he was just saying before we started recording that he needed a countdown idea for the month of December, and we might have just given him the bad solar system reviews. Or you should do like a poll or something like that. I don't know. It's going to be really cool. So go follow him.
Please, please, everybody.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And I am Space K Sarah.
Follow Kavi, but follow me.
Yes, follow us all because we like attention. Speaking of attention, I actually finally had my one random stupid video on TikTok is almost to 1 million views.
Woo!
I know, what? So apparently, if you just take a like Pong level graphic and share it on TikTok, they're like, oh, yay! Meanwhile, like two videos prior, it's like me snorkeling with whale sharks, and I'm like, what? How? What? I don't get it. So, but hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Swim
go find
with whales or circles.
Yeah. Like lines and dots. But it's fine. I'll take my wins. So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Follow us on social media. And, of course, follow iRock Space Radio. We now have some episodes up on our website of prior recordings of this show, and we will hopefully be getting more of those up as time goes on. So please make sure you head over there and check out the website, check out some old episodes with really cool guests that we had on. And yeah, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, it is the weird, smelly, odd, stinky things in space, sulfur episode. So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.